Are we living in the last days? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
I believe the Lord is coming soon. Do you believe that? As it says in the book of James, he's right at the door. And just as it was in the days of Noah, when he built the vessel and the door in the middle of the vessel was open for years and years and years, and Noah preached his heart out. Come, God has salvation for you. And there was apathy and apostasy, and they blew him off. And one day, the Bible says, God said to Noah, come into the ark. And Noah came into the ark, and God closed the door behind him. And the day of grace was over. I don't know when that day is, but I know it's coming. There is truth, there is blessedness, there is hope.
The second coming of Christ is an inevitable event that will close the final chapter of the world's history. And that inevitable occurrence causes different reactions among even God's people. But what is the proper biblical response to that future day of the Lord? How are we believers to live in a world that's only intensifying in wickedness and evil? This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. And thank you for joining us today for the last message in Pastor Jeff's timely seven-lesson series, The Days of Noah. Now, so far, we've studied Noah's life, Noah's culture, the flood, and so much about the great Bible story and how that applies directly to Jesus Christ and to our lives today. And today, Pastor Jeff will close this series by answering that important question about how we're supposed to live in these last days. Now, before we start that, let me remind you that you can listen again to any of the messages you may have missed when you go to our website and click the On Radio tab. And you can download an MP3 of any broadcast, as well as the sermon outlines from Pastor Jeff. The entire unedited series is available on CDs, a USB flash drive, MP3 download, or on DVDs for your gift of any amount from His Heart this month. And with that gift, we'll also send you the booklet, Strong Faith for Tough Times, When the Impossible Meets God. I'll tell you more about that later, or you can go online for details. Again, fromhisheart.org. Now, though, open your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 3. Here's Pastor Jeff with part 2 of the lesson, Living in the Days of Noah.
Now, we have been in a series, The Days of Noah, talking about that time period, probably some 5,000 or so years ago, when God had to destroy the world with the flood. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. We can learn a lot from the days and from the climate of the world at that time. Living in the days of Noah, how does a person do it? Well, what does God say? How are His people to live in a world that is wicked and corrupt? 2 Peter chapter 3, I'll begin reading in verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be? In holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to His promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord to be salvation. Just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, lest being carried away by the error of unprincipled men, you fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. First characteristic, first trait. God wants us to live in awareness. There will be, number one, vice and violence that we deal with in these days. Secondly, there will be apathy and apostasy. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 24, the Son of Man is going to come as it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For in those days that were before the flood, he said they were eating and they were drinking, they were marrying and they were giving in marriage, and they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And we have apostasy taking place today. And the Bible warns us about that. Paul told Timothy, hey, you preach the word because the time is going to come when they won't want to listen to sound doctrine. But the people are going to want to have their ears tickled, and they'll turn away from the truth and turn aside to myths. And they will apostatize. They will fall away from the faith and from the things of God. And then there will be a growing hostility toward true Christians. We're seeing that now. A growing hostility toward people who believe the book, toward people who stand on the truths of God's word. So the Lord says, hey, live in awareness. Second character trait. God wants us not only to live in awareness, but to live in expectation. The Lord is coming, and his coming is near, as the scripture says. Now, if you will allow yourself to live that way, it will change you. First of all, it changes your attitude. It changes your attitude about life. Man, you see all the wickedness going on. And as Adrian Rogers says, you don't have to walk around with headline hysteria saying, oh no, what is the world coming to? You can look up and be watchful and say, praise the Lord, look who's coming to the world. And it changes your actions and reactions. Since all these things, verse 11, are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? You're supposed to live in holy conduct and godliness. What's the difference between holy conduct and godliness? Holy conduct is how you act. Godliness is a desire in your heart to please the Lord in all things. What sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? And when you know that the Lord is coming soon, perhaps today, it helps me to live in holy conduct and godliness. See, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink back in shame at his coming. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Now we are children of God, John says, and it does not appear as yet what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. When you have that hope fixed on the fact that the Lord is coming again in the clouds, he's going to catch me up to him one day, and in a moment, at the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. I don't know when that is. I just know it's coming. And so that helps me to live a life that is pleasing to God, that is pure. That helps me to overcome sin. So there's the expectation of his imminent return. It changes your actions and reactions, and it helps your witness. You think about how much bolder you would be in your witness for Christ if you knew that the Lord was coming back tonight. I mean, wouldn't you do some things differently? Wouldn't you say, hey, I got some people. I only got 6 more hours until the Lord comes back. I have some people that I need to tell. I mean, you'd blast it all over Facebook and Twitter and everywhere. You'd go up and down the neighborhood telling people, hey, you got to get right with Jesus because he's coming back tonight. I don't want you to miss it. Lord, it just makes you bold when you believe that the Lord is coming back soon. When you meet somebody, you think, I gotta somehow steer this conversation to ask this person about her relationship with Jesus, to see if they have one. You open your mouth when you know the Lord is coming soon. You know, here we are. We need to say something. We need to open our mouths and speak up for the Lord while we have opportunity. We're really here for one purpose. The overarching purpose is to please God and to glorify God. But he has us here on this earth. You shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. That's what we're here for, is to witness to the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Lord Jesus Christ, to be his ambassador. Third characteristic. God wants us not only to live in awareness, not only to live in expectation, but to live in peace. Therefore, verse 14, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. Found by him in peace. I love that. You know what the word for peace is in Greek? Irene. We get our name Irene from that. That name means peace. That means harmony. It means tranquility within, exempt from rage and havoc. When you don't have peace, inside you're kind of like a raging storm. You're just a tumultuous sea. But when you have peace, it's just calm inside. And here's the thing, and this is why this is so important. This is such a great encouragement. In the last days, when all hell breaks loose and wickedness is off the chain, and there's vice and violence and apathy and apostasy and such hostility toward Christians, and you say, we have to live in that environment, and I have to have my kids grow up in that environment, and I have to have my grandkids grow up in that environment. I hear this so much from so many people. I'm so fearful, and I'm so worried about the world that my kids and grandkids and great-grandkids are going to have to grow up in. You don't need to be. You don't need to be, because the Lord says, I want you to be at peace. When I come back, I want to find you at peace, because I'm in charge and I'm in control. Jesus said in John 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. I don't care what happens in this world. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Are there difficult times? Yes. Do you have to be freaked out about it? You have to be biting your nails, pacing the floor. What am I going to do? How's this going to work? Oh, man, I'm in such trouble. No. See, there's two kinds of peace that the Bible talks about. There's peace with God. That comes when you give your heart and life to Jesus. Therefore, Romans 5, 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That means there's no more war between you and God. You're not enemies anymore. You have given your heart to him. He's given his life to you. And there's peace with God. There's a peace treaty between you and God. That happens the moment you trust Christ. But then there's another kind of peace, which is the peace of God. The peace of God comes when you're walking with God, when you're right with God, when you're yielded to the Lord's Spirit. Scripture says, be anxious, worry about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God wants us to live in peace. He wants to find us in peace. Number four, God wants us to live in wisdom and discernment. So we have, he says, hey, be aware, be expecting me, which should change the way you live. Be in peace, because I'm in charge and I'm coming and I have this all under control. And then I want you to be discerning. I want you to be wise. It says in verse 15, and regard the patience of our Lord to be salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you. Why is God so slow by our definition in coming? Because he's patient, because he's waiting for more to come to him. And he says in verse 16, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, now watch it, in which are some things hard to understand. This is the Apostle Peter saying, you know, when I read Paul, I scratch my head on some of the things that he writes because they're hard to understand. You ever done that in the Bible? You ever read through Romans 9, 10, and 11 especially? And you're like, what in the world? Hey, Paul writes some things that are hard to understand. Peter had a tough time understanding it. I get a lot of encouragement from that because I say, yeah, I'm not really sure what it says, and neither did Peter. Paul's just tough. Paul was smart and wrote some deep, deep things, which are some things hard to understand. He said, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, lest being carried away by the error of unprincipled men, you fall from your own steadfastness. And don't believe everybody that comes along and says, though this is what the Bible says, and this is what the Bible means. You'd be like the Berean Christians when Paul came and preached there, but they were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Don't just take what I say. You go home and you check it out for yourself. And then you come back and say, hey, Jeff, you were right. I say, yeah, I was right. Yeah, I'm not trying to tell you things that aren't true. But false teachers will tell you things that aren't true. Now, in the days of Noah, one of the things that God said about the days of Noah, the earth was corrupt in the sight of God. Like rotten meat just had a stench to it. It was corrupt. You know, when meat goes bad, there's nothing you can do to meat to make it better, right? There's no amount of spice you can put on. Hey, just put on some barbecue sauce. It's rotten meat. When meat goes bad, you got to throw it out. And that's why God brought destruction, because the earth was corrupt. And there were alliances, as we read about in Genesis chapter 6, between men and women and demons. And they were all mixed in together, and the devil was trying to pollute the human race. Now, corruption is coming to the church. Corruption in the form of vice, in the form of immorality, corruption in the form of the Bible doesn't say what the Bible says, and the Bible doesn't mean what we've always known the Bible to mean, namely in the area that we see in homosexuality, where people say today, well, I mean, it's the Bible doesn't condemn homosexuality. Yes, it does. The Bible says it's wrong. Bible says it's sin. Homosexuality is not the unpardonable sin, but it's a sin. It's a sin. And the moment that we say, well, we can have gay Christians, and we can have stealing Christians, and we can have adulterous Christians, and lust-filled Christians, and here are the pornography Christians, and here are the bitter Christians. Listen, those are all sins. And so you can't put those together and say, well, it's okay to be like that. It's not okay to be like that. It's not okay to be bitter. It's not okay to be lust-filled. It's not okay to be jealous. Those are sins. Now, we deal with those, but the moment that you say it's okay, well, you've crossed a line. You've corrupted the word of God. You've twisted it. You've put it on the rack. Be wise and be discerning. Lastly, God says to live in ongoing spiritual growth, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory. Grow. Hey, the Christian life is not a destination. It's a journey, and we're growing, and nobody has arrived yet. We just keep growing and growing in the Lord. We become more and more like Jesus. Some people stop growing. Some people have been a Christian a long time, and you stopped growing. Here's the thing about growth. When you grow as a Christian, you're going against the tide, because the world's pushing you back this way. And so I have to keep moving forward to grow as a Christian against the tide of this world that wants to squeeze me into its mold. And if I rest on my laurels and I just say, you know, I'm tired of seeking the Lord, I'm just going to take a little break, and I'll just maintain my position here, my Christianity here. You won't do that, because the world's coming against you. As soon as you quit swimming upstream, you start to go downstream. And so we have to constantly be seeking God. How are you going to grow in the Lord? You have to constantly seek him in prayer and Bible study. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. How are you going to grow in the Lord? You have to have an open heart that wants to learn, that wants to grow, that wants to do what God says do. The two words that every Christian needs to know and needs to say repeatedly: yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. When you read the word of God and God, it leaps off the page and the Lord says, that's for you. Yes, Lord, I will do what you say to do. You come to church and the message is given and the plea is given. Come to Jesus. Get right with Jesus. Put the Lord first. Yes, Lord. Not, I'm going to dig my fingers into the pew and there's no way I'm coming down there and there's no way I'm going to do what God says. Listen, God can't use you if you're a no, sir kind of person, because you can't say no, Lord. He's not Lord if you're saying no to him. It's either yes, Lord, or no, sir. So what are you going to be? Are you going to be a no, sir believer, or are you going to be a yes, Lord? Yes, Lord. Hey, Lord, I have a lot of struggles. I have a lot of problems. I'm struggling with same-sex attraction, Lord. I'm struggling with pornography, Lord. I'm struggling with drugs and alcohol, Lord. But there's no way that I'm going to put those together and say I'm an addicted Christian. I'm a homosexual Christian. I'm a lust-filled Christian, because those things are oxymorons. They don't fit. God, I'm coming to you with my sin. I'm asking you to help me because I want to be living in holy conduct and godliness. Hey, I'm going to grow in the Lord. I got to seek him. I got to have an open heart to him. And I have to be involved, actively involved in his church. I watch as a pastor when people start to flake off. First sign that they're going in the wrong direction. The first sign that they stopped growing and they're going to start going backwards is they quit coming. They quit coming. Boy, they used to come Sunday morning, Bible study and worship and Wednesday night, and they'd be there for the meal and they'd be there for church and they would be involved in connection classes. They were coming all the time and they were growing, and then they quit coming. And all of a sudden you get a phone call from them. Oh, we're getting divorced. Oh, everything's falling apart. Yeah, no kidding. You need to keep seeking the Lord. You need to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hey, I believe the Lord is coming soon. Do you believe that? I believe he's coming soon. He's right, as it says in the book of James, he's right at the door. And just as it was in the days of Noah, when he built the vessel and the door in the middle of the vessel was open, it was open for years and years and years. And Noah preached his heart out. Come, God has salvation for you. And there was apathy and apostasy, and they blew him off. And one day, the Bible says, God said to Noah, come into the ark. And Noah came into the ark, and God closed the door behind him. And the day of grace was over. I don't know when that day is, but I know it's coming.
One day, God's patience will be over. No one knows when that day will be exactly, but we do know that the signs point to the fact that we're in that season when it surely could be any time. We also know that today is the day of opportunity. So as you're listening now, and you've never come to know Christ, you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, Pastor Jeff wants to close out this message and this series by praying with you today. Pastor?
Well, as we've been talking about the days of Noah, those days remind us that judgment came to that past world, and judgment is coming to our world. And God doesn't want to judge. He wants to save. If the Lord should come today and you don't know if you're ready, today is the day for you to say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Forgive me of my sins. Lord, I need you desperately. And you have promised that whoever calls upon your name will be saved. And Lord, I do that right now. I call upon your name. Save me, Lord Jesus, and I will promise to follow you all the days of my life. My friend, if you'll pray that kind of prayer from a repentant heart, saying, save me, Lord Jesus, he'll save you. And the reason I know that is because that's the exact prayer I prayed when I was 17 years old and said, save me, Lord Jesus, and he saved me.
And we pray that this has been your prayer today as you prayed along with Pastor Jeff. If so, we rejoice with you and we would love to know about your decision. Please go to fromhisheart.org and tell us what Christ has done in your life. Click the Why Jesus link to find out more about what you can expect as a child of God. Now remember, this series, The Days of Noah, is our thank you gift for your support of any amount to From His Heart this month. It includes 7 lessons, and they're available in the format of your choice. Just go to fromhisheart.org for all the details and make your gift online. And this month, we'll send you the 7 message series, The Days of Noah, and the timely booklet, Strong Faith for Tough Times, When the Impossible Meets God. So thank you for helping us speak the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Thank you as well for being here today. I'm Larry Nobles, trusting you'll be able to join us next time when again we'll open God's Word and share real truth, love, and hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to FromHisHeart.org.